guess, are like leases in perpetuity. But the fact is, it's like they don't own the land. They cross, and they wanted to cross Lynn's land, but she rotationally grazes her cattle, and she depends on the water. She all the water she uses comes from the willow, and so she was basically, or groundwater, and she was basically like, no, you can't, because I can't feed myself. I can't run my farm if your pipeline's here. So she wouldn't sign, and that caused a lot of tension because everyone else was signing with them. And so there's a lot of like,
and nobody else gets paid unless it happens.
Right, or they get paid, but it's more like that if she's slowing things up, then they're not going to get the jobs. Like everybody talks about how they're going to be these jobs when the pipeline comes. Yeah. It's all bullshit, but
only at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Canada, that like this is, it's the geopolitics of Minnesota and Canada now is exactly this.
Yeah,
woman and
yeah.
her neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
yep,
crazy.
Exactly. And so they've, you know, like we were talking about, they've stopped plowing her road. Mm. They're basically trying to like starve her out of her land. The local people who are now part of, basically they're contractors of Enbridge, local organizers for Enbridge, I guess.
Wow, yeah.
You could think of it that way. And so they're doing the work that Enbridge would do of basically making people's lives miserable until they're gone and then take
them. You know
land.
The other place this is all happening, I have to shift, because this is the other thing that's kind of defensible about the kind of locality problem is that like a lot of this stuff is happening in so many different places.
This is all rice, I think.
How about?
I think this is why we're heading, well, there's cattails, but I think she was trying to show us the upper and lower Rice Lakes. But
wow. So this is the lake.
Yeah.
It's called Rice Lake.
Rice Lake, yeah. And they must do a lot of ricing. Anyway.
So it's not, I didn't understand the part, the agriculture of the rice. Is it brought in from the South American
the
tribes
rice.
That came up here, or is it?
The rice.
Is it native?
I think the rice is native to this place, and they call it wild rice for Monomen, and it is the part of the creation story of the Ojibwe people who settled here.
Right.
And it was explained to me that Ojibwe, Anishinaabe are, it's the same people as in Canada, but it's a different name.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes,
there's a number
yeah.
of tribes under Anishinaabe.
Yeah, and so, but the creation story or what brought people here was the rice, because there was a prophecy about the food that grows on the water. Okay. And so it's an important food, but an important part, cultural piece as well.
Hmm. Wow.
We gonna jump out here?
Was it not following us?
I think they were maybe gonna. Some of them were gonna head back.
Yeah, I think they went back to Minneapolis.
All right. Are we stopping here?
Well, no. We just wanted to check
and
make sure we still had everything.
Oh, okay.
That's up the rice right now.
Because according to this 1855 treaty that they all, or 18,
yeah.
treaty,
yeah.
That it grants the rights to be able to harvest food. And so if you can't harvest food because your water's poison, and rice is very sensitive, so, and sensitive especially to pH changes, which makes it an important indicator in mining pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all
I
kinds
know that
of.
In China.
All kinds of laws and permits being negotiated right now at the state level about the proposed mines and sulfide and how much they'll permit and the relationship between that and ricing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's a lot of things.
It's an important like boundary. You know what I was wondering, actually, is, like, you know what she was talking about, specifically tar sands oil, which, of
right.
course, we have, I know the story of that really well, but,
yeah.
Because that's my generation of growing up in Canada, like, that made Alberta, you know,
right.
Into the powerhouse that is even inter,
yeah.
like, inside the country, interprovincially, but the, she kept mentioning that, like, that specifically tar sands pipelines are, it seemed like she was saying that tar sands pipelines are specifically what I'm interested in partly is the proliferation of self-same stories. Like, so I did a lot of work in Saskatchewan last year with the H2S poisoning through fracking and stuff like that. And it's not because I think I'm going to have some kind of grand theory of how this all works or whatever, because it's always local and there's always specific context, and rice is not an issue there, for example, all that. But at the same time, like, I think sometimes what you can do, particularly as an artist, sometimes if you're not working in that exact local way, is join people together, because you have the resources a little bit, you have the
or you're
mobility,
listening in on different places and hearing.
It's like,
things.
Oh shit, that's going on here too. Because that story of like attacking one's own neighbor, the biggest issue in fracking is hydrogen sulfide in the air, right? Mm. Like, I mean, everyone knows the stories of the gas coming out of the faucet and all that, but there was a bunch of people doing kind of DIY testing, like with photopaper, because if you put photopaper in the presence of anything sulfuric, it just turns white. And so they were just taking like old, you know, cannon rolls and like putting them out on their lawns and figuring out that they had worse sulfide than like a sewage plant. And then they went to the local authorities, and these are people who had not, either some of them were actually already fracking themselves, but they were like, is this me or is it my neighbor?
Oh.
They started getting in fights about like who had bigger fracking operations and therefore who was poisoning their children. And, you know, and then the people who, of course, didn't have any fracking were like, look, I just
want
to
live.
Yeah, you really can't do this to my air.
Yeah.
And they got persecuted like crazy, like, you know, removed from city councils.
Wow.
Crazy stuff. So it's also this way that, like, you were talking about the gig, what were we talking about?
The gig economy of the, like, workers. Yeah.
Right, because these people also have this impression that all these little fracking companies are, like, these small organizations, and they pit each other, they pit the regions against each other, and then sell all the oil back to Sunoco or whatever.
Right.
Because and Sunoco owns the subsidiaries anyway.
Right.
But they do it like that, because that way there's no single operator that can be blamed for the poisoning. You know?
Uh-huh. And that's the same with the mining companies. PolyMet is owned by Glencore now. Mostly they own most of the shares. And, you know, it's like Glencore is not on any of the permits. Like, they're not responsible for any of the pollution and waste that would be created, because they aren't technically the permit holder.
Dissolve the company and start a new one.
They're just the majority shareholder. And so there's all this stuff about that I don't totally understand, but has to do with this sort of business.
You can bankrupt a company and just start another one.
Yeah.
That's just how the corporations work. You're able to. Well, somebody once showed me the websites of the four main, kind of, not even the operators, because the operators are kind of a middle tier, but the people who show up at your house and say, like, look, there's natural gas underneath your house, we put a pump there, you get a $3,000 check every month. And people are, of course, like, yeah, you know, of course. But that guy who comes to your, that woman who comes to your front door, there's these, I forget what they're called, like service providers or something, but there's four different websites of the main four that kind of go around to the houses, and they all look exactly the same, except there's like, you know, the color scheme is slightly different.
Uh-huh.
Like the photos are like from the same.
But it's the same.
It's just somebody proliferated four different companies through the four different regions of Saskatchewan so that it wouldn't get too big. And the regulators wouldn't notice it. They wouldn't. They'd be able to shut it down quicker, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. Huh.
And I imagine there's something similar with this way that leasing works. You just brought that up, but I need to look into it a bit more.
Yeah. And I don't totally understand, although the copies of a lot of the leases, I mean, some of them are public record. You can find copies of them on the county websites and stuff. And I just have no sense of, I'm not a legal person.
were talking about this morning is really the key item, is like just not to, because, you know, I think what we're all doing is trying to figure out what we should do.
Right.
You know, right. And that's fucking hard.
Yeah, or how to be.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. I look across the aisle and I see Rita over the table and she's like, this is what I do.
Right,
and
right.
I'm like, fucking A, you know,
I
like,
wish I
just
do.
Do
yeah.
that. That's
yeah.
cool. And she's
yeah.
got a real good way of saying it, which is like,
yeah.
look, that's cool, you're doing that.
Yeah.
We need all this. It's not like
we need all of it. It's not a one is not right and one is not wrong, and we don't all have to, like what she said, maybe it was after you guys left, but the other thing is we don't all need to agree.
No.
And
no.
we don't even all need to be in communication. Like the idea that we all are going to get on one call and come up with an idea about how to act together,
yeah.
like that may be not happening, and that's fine.
And I think it might even be a bit more effective sometimes when it's
yeah.
popping up in different ways,
because yeah.
you see the same thing in different languages.
But you do need a sense about trust. Like, there needs to be a sort of trust that gets built and maintained. And I don't
yeah.
know, how do you maintain trust? And that might
with
be...
multiple practices and multiple...
Yeah, and that might be, like, where I was trying to go with this idea of, like, how do we practice a different way of being that is outside of the governance structures or the political structures or...
Sure.
You know, and I think it
But
has,
it might also be what makes you a bit paranoid when... Sorry, you're not paranoid,
no, but
worried when you start getting involved in a project and you start looking at, like,
yeah, yeah,
who's doing this and are their motivations
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff like that. And actually, I'm trying to get better at just, like, trusting people
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and then putting myself on the line
yeah.
by doing what you've done, which is bringing a person that will make it,
yeah.
like,
you just do what
an encounter.
Do. Yeah, you do what you do. And I'm learning, I'm working a lot on letting go
yeah.
of a sense of control or responsibility that has to do with... I'm not tied to all those things, right? Like, I can work with people that I don't necessarily see eye to eye with, or I'm not totally 100% on board with everything they're doing. Like,
I think this is what I meant when I said, like,
yeah.
also getting rid of people to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are either more or less powerful than you usually.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I completely agree what you said about white people showing up with cameras. I probably
yeah,
guilty.
And
I'm
don't mean that
guilty.
As a critique of you, but I meant it just as if this is a where we are.
No, but I'm trying to figure out what, you know, these, like, so the work that we've been doing with the Huckabee for a long time has been always about communicating the program somehow, like just being a kind of, you know, just being there
yeah.
and not actually adding much to it. In this particular time, I've been really, really, probably because I'm North American actually,
right.
and just sitting in meetings with them in Berlin going like, you guys have no fucking idea what you're getting into. Like, in terms of the racism, in terms of
yeah.
the reality of this non-conceptual, I mean, it's a banal example, but they have this kind of content system that everybody's signed into.
Yeah.
And even the categories are ridiculous. Like, there are things like post-coloniality and, you know, like, and it's like, nobody talks like that. It's just completely autonomy, you know,
yeah,
which
yeah,
I know they're words that people sometimes use, but they're actually a fixed set of categories, like you can't
right.
add things. It's like, no, that doesn't fit. Like, nothing, if nothing fits.
You need like a million categories, yeah.
So I guess I'm just hopeful for the next 2 months or so, like when I'm floating through this process, I'll be able to do a little bit of like, this is how it looks over here, this is how this concept
yeah.
is landing, this is why people are showing up for these things, not because
yeah.
they even understand what the fuck you're talking about, but they're being generous towards you and trying to host
yeah,
you as well.
Yeah, 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 I think that's important. And I think the way things come together is so important, and I have, you know, yesterday was so rushed.
Oh, yeah.
It was rushed from the beginning. There was never enough time to show up.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and I don't like that to be the way that I do things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a slow person. I'm a visitor. Like, I don't want to ever drop in, drop out kind of style, but that's sort of what we had to
like, you know, what they used to do every year would get together with these kinds of projects. They'd sit in Berlin, you know, talking about the world's catastrophic problems. And so, again, I'm kind of proud of them in some kind of almost, like, pubescent way that they've
they, like,
left that
they came
building,
here.
You know? Because it's not where you see a lot of them.
Right.
They do what they can from where they are, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think they did hear some, and they did hear some from some people this last couple of days that I hope will matter.
Well, also, I mean, I think, you know, it's, unfortunately, it sounds a little bit like what sometimes feels like feminists educating their enemies or whatever, but, like,
yeah.
It's also, that's what I'm trying to put effort into this, like, I'm not going to tell anybody else what to do, but I'm trying to put effort into making everybody my audience, like I was saying, like,
yeah.
Like those people, you know, if they're going to do this, then I'm going to pester them for the next couple of years
right.
that they have to return to that site or kind
yeah.
of figure out what they brought back.
Or how they might support some different things. So Gracie
yeah.
yesterday introduced at the end, and I hadn't heard, I never know when she's like, when something is really planned
mm.
or if she's just very smart and strategic about the moment that she's in.
Yeah.
But she... By the end of it, she was like, and I just am, just want to tell you about this idea. And it was basically that she wants to take a canoe trip, and she wants to paddle from the Missouri, down the Missouri, upriver. She wants to paddle upriver.
To the source of the source. Yeah.
On the Missouri, and then up the Mississippi to retrace the journey that was the women and children who were put onto riverboats in the internment camp at Fort Snelling.
After
the Dakota War, after the hanging, and many had already died, they put a bunch onto boats and sent them out to South Dakota, North Dakota, on the river, which was how they relocated her people.
Wow.
And so she was like, you know, in that journey, the river is a graveyard. Like,
mm.
there were people that died.
On the boats?
Children,
okay.
women, elders, and they were just tossed over the edges of the boats. And so... We would be, and so she was like, you know, when you are,
wow.
yeah, that's a, when you
that's
are,
kind of fantastic, amazing.
Where are we? When you're on the river, remember that. And she kind of challenged everyone to, you know, be in prayer a little bit, be in silence, like honor that, don't.
Yeah, that's another focus that's kind of fascinating with Europeans is that, of course, there's like a. I don't know, like I was in Paris one time, this Canadian story, but I was in Paris one time and I was on the Rue de Castel, which means Beaver Street. I'm like, that's fucking weird, what's it called, Beaver Street? You look around, and of course it's a street that's paid for by fur trading and
yeah.
whatever, and you sort of see it in the cement structures, and it's like all built in 1905 probably,
right.
or whatever. And I'm aware of a certain, well, there's a German guilt fundamentally about, you know, kind of dark histories and lots of memorializations and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm also trying to figure out ways of, I don't know, having to go beyond the guilt, basically. Like,
yeah.
you know, it is really horrible to, it's also just something to deal with as a North American. Like,
right.
you're not, your land rights recognitions and stuff are not enough.
Right.
But then it's also not, you know, you don't want to debilitate yourself with depression and guilt that
yeah.
you can't. That's sort of like a motivational problem also.
That's
or just my dad's response, which is like, what do you want me to do? Get my house back?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like,
which is like a question that I honestly am like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
Actually, that's on the table.
Yeah.
If that's on the table, let's talk about it.
Yeah, you brought it up.
There's a realtor in the Twin Cities, and she introduces herself in public. And when I met her, I said, oh, you know, like, what do you do? What are you up to? And she said, I sell stolen Dakota land.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was like, what? She's like, I sell stolen Dakota land. I'm a realtor. And I was like, oh, you're a realtor, so you sell. She's like, yeah, well, that's what realtors do.
Yeah.
And so she actually actively contributes profits to indigenous organizations.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So anyway, there's an idea.
That's a story, too. Yeah, wow.
Yes. Hi.
Hey.
Just following you.
I'm gonna stop here, and then we'll drive down to the lake.
Okay. Can we walk in here, or we...
I think she might drive down, I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll see. But yeah, this is the...
That road work. Wow.
Oh, by my house?
Yeah.
That's crazy, huh? about a pipeline?
Well, you know, they say that it's a...